This is the podcast for Woodland Presbyterian Church in Memphis, Tennessee. We are maturing God's people to serve a hurting world. We hope you enjoy the message. And if you'd like to learn more about our church, look us up at woodlandpres.org. Thanks so much. May the Lord bless you.
We all have a picture of a Thanksgiving table, a long, well-decorated table, with perfectly displayed food, a runner down the middle, a seasonal centerpiece, and elegant dishes. Here are a couple of examples. James, you have those? There we go. Yeah, that's what I think about. And I particularly love this next one because it's described as simple. I would love to see what complicated would look like, wouldn't you? But let's say that you're invited to this Thanksgiving dinner at a new friend's house and you arrive to find the table set just like that. Everything looks amazing, smells incredible, but when you step up to the table, you find that there isn't an open seat for you. All the places are set perfectly and the food smells great, but there isn't a seat for you at the table. Your new friend gave all the seats away to longtime friends and failed to make a place for you. When you ask her to sit, she sighs and says, I wanted to set you a place, but I ran out of the matching dishes. Setting you a place would have ruined the look I was going for. How hospitable is that host? Yeah. How welcome do you feel? Not very, right? When we think about the word hospitality, James, you can take that on down. Thank you. We tend to think in terms of impressive food and beautiful place settings, but it doesn't matter how meticulously the table is set or how perfectly the food is cooked and served if there isn't a place for you at the table. I love the word that's translated hospitality in the New Testament. Greek likes to shove different words together to make new words. And the word our Bible translates as hospitality takes the word friend, phila, and shoves it up against the word strangers, xenos. So the biblical idea of hospitality is to be a friend to strangers. People we don't know and may not seem to have anything in common with. This is a very different image of hospitality from the tables we looked at, right? Not a perfectly set table, but an open chair that's waiting for a stranger to have a seat, that they may no longer be strangers. 2 weeks ago, Edwin talked about the life trajectory of the Christian, that the call of Jesus changes the direction of our lives from self-concern to redemptive mission. As we approach Thanksgiving, let's consider how real biblical hospitality enlightens and enables that mission. Ephesians 2, 11 through 13 says, therefore remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. That's what our parable for today is about. How Jesus sent the gospel message throughout the whole world through his servants that Gentile pagans, like most of us in here, might be brought near to him. He made a place for us at his table. Because Christ welcomed us to his table, we make sure there's always an open chair for those who accept the invitation. Always. The main point of the parable of the banquet in Luke 14 is why Jesus welcomed the people he did, Gentiles, sinners, and the poor. There's so many religious leaders who had it all together, but Jesus very rarely hangs out with them. The parable says that there are two big reasons. Many of those invited refused the invitation. That is to say, few of the Jewish leaders trusted in Christ despite their knowledge of the coming Messiah. And that makes room for others in the community of faith, alongside their Jewish brothers and sisters who trust in Christ. And two, the banquet is too big and too important to be wasted. It will be filled. Another way of thinking about this is, how do those who already know Jesus make space in our lives for those who don't, so that they can find belonging at God's big table? God's people are called to look outward, to keep going out, to bring others in. One of the most normal but unbiblical things to invade the church is the attitude that those who are outside are a problem, not a mission. But to belong to Christ is to live sent. We are sent out particularly to those who aren't us, and even those who can't benefit us. Look again at Luke 14, verses 12 through 14. He said also to the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." The Christian's disposition toward those who cannot do anything for us reveals what we believe about eternity and humanity. If we see people as means to an end, there is no gospel love in our invitations. So if we consider people in terms of, we should invite her to church, she's a really good musician. Or he's loaded, so we should make sure we're extra nice to him if he visits. Or that's a very connected family, let's make sure we invite them. If we treat people as things to be used for our own gain, we have not yet taken hold of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Gospel hospitality doesn't seek benefit from those invited. It seeks faithfulness to our great host. Gospel hospitality is about serving those who can't do anything for us at all. And often we discover that's exactly who we needed. As Jesus said, what we do for the least of these, we are doing for him. Jesus takes this very personally. So, if someone visits this church and has no intention of joining, whether they're visiting town or their church is off for the Sunday or whatever, do we treat them differently? Are we as excited to meet them? Are we as welcoming to them as someone who may join? Do we move toward them as if they matter to God, or only on the condition that they matter to us? Those are two different approaches. And when you invite people into your home, is it people like you and people who can benefit you? Or is it people who need the invitation? The way we define us ought to reflect the upside-down kingdom that Jesus established. We are defined by God's grace toward us when we were spiritually bankrupt. Are we automatically more likely to move toward people that we recognize, who have something to offer, or who seem like our kind of people, than we are to move toward those who seem to only bring need? Is there an empty seat at your table for those who have nothing to offer except a distinct and wonderful reflection of God's image? But there's more happening here. Why was there room at the table? Look at Luke 14, 15 through 20. When one of those who reclined at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." But he said to him, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many, and at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please please have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to examine them. Please have me excused. And another said, and I think this is the most legitimate, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. No please involved. Again, Jesus is responding to elitism within some Jewish leaders of the time that wanted to fiercely guard the boundaries of the kingdom of God. They didn't want those people at their table. But Jesus says that until you recognize that it isn't your table, you're going to refuse a seat at his. Since we are, in fact, Presbyterians, we believe that those who accept the invitation are those who are called and regenerated by the Holy Spirit. Those who are his sheep hear his voice and respond. But then why did those invited in this parable reject the invite? These people saw their attendance as a favor to the one serving the banquet. But they were only robbing themselves of a good time. Why is it so hard to get people to come to a party, for goodness sake? They were too entrenched in their own lives to accept the invitation because they didn't see their need. And their excuses are thoroughly lame. The field isn't going to change. You already bought it. Who cares? Come to a party first. And the oxen also already bought. You might have gotten a good deal, you might have gotten a bad deal, but at least you can go to a party on the way. And even the newlyweds, okay. You didn't know you were getting married when the invitation came? Their lives all seem full. They don't see themselves as needy because things are going great. How often do we recognize our need for grace when life is going pretty well? Isn't it harder to see our spiritual poverty when we're enjoying material and relational blessings? Jesus did call Jewish people and prosperous people, and all who did receive him, who believed in his name, gained the right to become children of God. He didn't turn them away. But God uses our need, our awareness of our spiritual poverty, to reveal the value of the invitation. Hungry people show up to dinner. A friend once asked, why is the church so disproportionately full of broken people? And our answer was, because they're the ones who know they need it. The Christian church is a band of misfits who have found belonging at the banquet set out in the gospel. Look at verses 21 through 24. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. And the servant said, sir, what you have commanded has been done and still there is room. And the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet. You know what's beautiful about our God? Unlike the parabolic master of the banquet, God always knew and intended for those who did respond to find a place at his table. Those who came, the poor, the crippled, the blind, and lame, are those he wanted to come in the first place. Jesus opens his first big sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, with this line, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven is an upside down kingdom. The least are the greatest and the greatest are the least. If we have forgotten that it's only by grace that we are saved and that God made a place for us through Jesus Christ, then we will also fail to make space for others. We can take our place in God's kingdom for granted, but it's been granted to us through the blood of Jesus. He made a place for us. The normal Christian life is characterized by an open chair. Space open for those whom we might not consider our people now, but who may become our family through God's invitation. We are his servants. We offer his invitation. And we are motivated into the work by remembering our own calling. Ephesians 2, 18 through 22 says, "For through him, Jesus, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit." We are those who have been brought near. It's when we lose the wonder that God found us that we get caught up in our own lives, distracted by good but temporary things. It's when we forget that it's our privilege to sit at God's table, and we have no right to reserve seats. Instead, we are called to pull up more chairs to our own tables that some who answer our invitation might one day answer his. How cool is that? Christians were called for such a time as this one. The data shows that our society needs Christians who take the call to biblical hospitality very seriously. Couple of statistics. If you like data, I got some, okay? So 21% of U.S. adults report serious feelings of loneliness. Serious feelings, not some. Serious feelings of loneliness. And worldwide, this blows my mind. Loneliness is linked to 187,000 deaths annually. There's a remarkable correlation between loneliness and in-home hospitality. It's not necessarily causation, but it's a really tight correlation. So in 1975, the average American entertained friends at home 15 times per year. Currently, only about 30% of Americans entertain at least once a month at home. Why do you think that is? Busyness, right? Like that's probably my guess too. But here's the thing. Work hours per week have declined from 70 hours in 1870 to a steady 40 hours per week for the last 5 decades. Yet Americans consistently report that we feel busier than we ever have. That's bonkers. So, busyness is a status symbol now. You feel like you're making yourself less important if you have time for other people. We also use our free time really poorly. If a phone is constantly interrupting every conversation you have, you never really feel free. But here's the biggest one. Perception of productivity is tied to how much time we spend serving other people. We feel like we have more time, according to a Scientific American study, when we're serving others. The more we withhold service, the busier we feel. Christians, brothers and sisters, this is our moment. This is our time. Hospitality is one of the most effective treatments for the loneliness epidemic. And the more time we spend looking outward, the less overwhelmed we are internally. A biblical framework for hospitality, one where our standard is the open chair rather than the perfectly laid out table, is one that focuses on the other rather than the self. If we make hospitality about proving our worth, our status, and our generosity, rather than actually being generous, by making space for others in the midst of our regular, imperfect lives, we're just less likely to do it. And it's less likely to be beneficial to our guests or to ourselves. But if we focus on welcoming people into our homes, our churches, and our lives, however imperfect they are, with little or no consideration for what they can do for us, we'll find that we can see how much more we have to offer than we thought. And we find greater belonging at the table. So imagine a different Thanksgiving dinner with me. You don't have anywhere to go or anyone to celebrate with. But you bump into somebody at the grocery store that you've never met before, and they see that you have a little turkey breast in your cart and a couple sweet potatoes and a frozen pecan pie, and they realize you're planning a Thanksgiving for one. And so he invites you to celebrate Thanksgiving with him and his family and friends, and you say, sure, I don't have anything to do. And when you show up, there are cars up and down both sides of the street. And you're like, oh man, this is a thing. And you walk in and you see multiple tables pushed together and dozens of mismatched chairs. No centerpieces. And as many different styles of dishes as there are place settings. Then the man who invited you walks up and says, hey, you made it. I'm so excited you're here. Come sit with me. I set you a place right next to me. And you sit down to the right of the head of the table, and the woman next to you leans over and says, is this your first time here? And you sheepishly nod, assuming everyone else there is family or a longtime friend. But she says, my first dinner here was for Easter. We're all so excited that you're here. And you can tell she means it. To the left of the host is an open chair. And you ask, was someone not able to come? And he says, I always keep an open chair here. I want to have a place set for whoever might show up. Which one's more hospitable? The perfectly set table that looks amazing but doesn't have a place for you? Or the mismatched tables with no tablecloth, but always an open seat? Isn't that the kind of church you want to be a part of? One with an open chair right next to the master of the house, who is Christ the King. Because Christ welcomed us to his table, we make sure there's always an open chair for those who accept the invitation. So here's my challenge for you. Before the end of the year, invite someone from this church that you've never hung out with outside of this building to your house for dinner. And each of you try to invite someone who doesn't go to church here at all, preferably someone who doesn't go to church anywhere. They don't have to accept the invite, just invite them. The dinner can be pizza, okay? It can be Chipotle pickup. That's what I did the last time I had people over. Or a potluck or a crock pot soup buffet. I love soup so much, it's my favorite. Your home doesn't need to be perfect or large enough, because an imperfect, crowded home with mismatched plates is a beautiful thing when there's an open seat. God's invitation isn't just to a social event or even the church. God invites us to commune with him personally through the gospel message that Christ has overcome our sin to bring us near to the one who made us and loves us. But it may just be that the first step toward Christ is a dinner with a member of his family. I know it's the holidays. I know we're busy. But the more we practice reaching out to people that we don't consider our people yet, the less busy we may feel, and the more our imperfect lives and homes become the perfect vessel of God's grace and love. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening to this message from Woodland Presbyterian Church, maturing God's people to serve a hurting world. If you would like to learn more about our congregation, please visit us at woodlandpres.org. God bless you today.